Hello, my name is James Lyne, and I'm the Global Head of Security Research at Sophos. And I'm going to talk to you about one of our new little projects, the World of Warbiking. Now, in World of Warbiking, we're essentially taking a very, very old technique, war driving, dates back to Peter Shipley at DEF CON 9 originally, who I ran into at the RSA conference when I was beginning my war biking project, and who pretended to not understand what war driving was. So a very good troll from Peter Shipley there. Now, the idea is that at security conferences like InfoSec, we as security professionals are obsessed with the latest zero day, the latest trend, and basically we'll talk about anything for about 3 months, and then it is forever banned from the conference roster. It is old news and no one cares anymore. My theory being the outside world, the public, don't necessarily receive that information in a format they understand. And for many years afterwards, that security problem remains real whilst we, the security community, no longer drive it on the agenda. So with World of Warbiking, I set out with a road bike or a push bike, as some would call it, a Raspberry Pi Linux computer, a 12,000 milliamp hour battery, a modified version of Kismet, which I modified the source to not collect certain information to be in compliance with laws, but also a fantastic tool given its support for Bluetooth, BTLE with the Ubertooth, as well as the wireless protocols. A number of adapters spanning the likes of channel 1, 6, 11 on 2.4 gigahertz, plus one roaming across the 5 gigahertz range, given that there are less devices there. And a solar panel to top up the battery for when things got a little high drain. Now, that worked very well in San Francisco, our first World of Warbiking site. Solar panel didn't work quite so well in London, unfortunately. Now, the idea is to pick up the various security levels of access points across London and San Francisco and to measure just how many people are actually using the latest wireless security standards. And staggeringly, we found that in San Francisco, 9.5% of the 72,000 networks that we scanned were using WEP, Wired Equivalence Protocol or alike, a protocol that has been known, well, frankly, broken since 2001, and where tools have been readily available to compromise it since 2004. So here we are, 2014, 10 years later at least, since you could crack into most web networks in less than 60 seconds, and nearly 10% of the population are using it. Now, London did slightly better. We were just a little over 6%, which is an improvement. And anecdotally, that figure has about halved since I looked a couple of years ago in London with a warbiking pretest. Still, thousands of people using very archaic security standards. For completeness, the others were divided between WPA and WPA2, but around 14% using WPA2, the recommended standard. So really a very small number of people actually aligned to best practice. And consider that's a best case scenario because lots of them are going to be using rubbish passwords, and for legal reasons we couldn't test those. So all in all, this fundamental security practice of wireless still seems to be a very huge issue with the general population. There are, of course, lots more details on our website, a full report that details all the statistics. One other little thing I do want to call out. We actually created our own hotspot on the ride as well. Three SSIDs, free internet, do not connect, seemed appropriate really, and also free public Wi-Fi. Now, only 27 people connected to Do Not Connect, so society is largely obedient, which is great. But for everyone else, very interesting trend. In the US, 6% of people used a VPN. In the UK, 2% of people fired up a VPN. So people connect and don't really take steps to necessarily protect themselves. The majority of people use HTTP, reasonably high use of HTTPS, and of course, where they were using HTTP, it tended not to be sensitive sites. But of course, that's an opportunity to inject malicious JavaScript that redirects to a CrimePak page, to deliver a malicious payload, to inject a scam version of a login form using SET, for example. So, I mean, it's a fairly easy attack vector to harvest credentials, if nothing else. From that list as well, 314 people using unencrypted email credentials. are we in the 90s here? I mean, really? Handing over usernames and passwords in plain text on a wireless network that you don't know who it belongs to. I mean, this is feeling seriously retro to me, which is why we kind of wanted to go conduct this exercise. Last but not least, we did do some Bluetooth scanning. Given the more technical audience here, people will probably be familiar with the challenges of Bluetooth scanning, particularly from a brute force perspective, given the very narrow frequency that Bluetooth employs, the fact that it switches between those frequencies at high speed, and trying to follow it requires an implementation in hardware as opposed to software, given that velocity. So there are great wireless scanning tools available, but Bluetooth has been a lot more elusive. We used the Ubertooth One, great project. We also used a number of traditional Bluetooth adapters. We didn't do a great deal in the way of bruting, like some of the great work by Travis, because we wanted to stay very clear on the law. So we only looked for discoverable devices announcing themselves, which severely limited the results. But even still, we found 3,412 devices and lots of hotspots announcing themselves, James Line's iPhone, people giving away their names, a couple of cars offering audio services. You could have a lot of fun with that. You know, you could do the old blue jacking, go bust a Starbucks and try and connect to everyone's headsets with the default pins and inject this is the voice of the Mysterons or something like that. So I suppose, you know, the upshot of all of this really is a call to action to the security industry to say, it's not necessarily about the latest zero-day government hack, Heartbleed, or whatever's hitting the news right now. We need to remember that the general public often don't take up best practice, even from 10 plus years ago, and we have to get better at getting people to do those basics. Otherwise, all these advanced products, all these clever things that we'll be hearing about this week are really a house built on very sloppy foundations, and trusted on untrusted ultimately just gives us untrusted. So hopefully a useful wake-up call, and if anyone has any questions, they can, of course, get in touch on Twitter or through the website where all the war biking data is, but I hope people find it a useful reminder.